Hello, and welcome to That Tech Pod, where we discuss all things e-discovery, data privacy, cybersecurity, and tech innovation. I'm Kevin Albert, and I feel like I have a decent knowledge of tech.
And I'm Laura Milstein, and I'm not really sure how I feel about technology today.
And that's why each week we are talking to heavy hitters in the industry to help us break down these topics. Laura, who are we talking to today?
Today we are talking to Meredith Rodkey, the SVP of Platform Production Management at Brightspot. She has focused on product management for nearly 15 years, working closely with major Brightspot customers like the Los Angeles Times, NPR, Johnson & Johnson, U.S. News & World Report, and HealthGrades. In her previous life, Meredith worked as a homepage editor and writer for AOL.com, curating a daily experience for millions of users. Meredith, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It is a true pleasure to have you on today. I'm really interested in Brightspot as a company, but I'm more interested in you. So full disclosure, Kevin and I, before you came on, we were just like, what's more exciting to us, Brightspot or Meredith? And we can't tell. It's tough. I picked you, but Kevin picked Brightspot. So we'll have to really see who wins. So before we get into the episode and talk all things Meredith and Brightspot, let's start with Meredith. So I know I just read your bio, but if you don't mind telling us a little bit more about yourself, how you got to this company and where you are, that would be awesome.
Sure. I think what's probably most interesting about my background is I sort of view myself as an accidental product person. And I think a lot of product people will say that, right? I am a product person really by way of content. My background is in content and journalism. I went to school for journalism. I spent the first 10 years of my career working in journalism, actually for AOL on AOL.com, sort of programming the day-to-day experience. At that time, we had millions of daily users who we were, putting the latest and greatest content in front of. And when I kind of switched careers out of content and into product, I think I got incredibly lucky in that I went to work for a company that was starting to work on a content management system. I can't think of a product that I would be more passionate about or sort of better suited to, be responsible for than a content management system. It's sort of in my DNA to, I love content. I love writers and working with our customers and walking into newsrooms is just very exciting for me.
So how do you go from journalism to marketing? Is there like a specific trigger, or was it just you were looking for a different job and it kind of happened naturally?
It sort of happened naturally. Interestingly enough, the product lead who we worked with very closely at AOL.com actually came to Brightspot when she decided to, switch from product management for a big company to a small company. She said to me, I think you might like working here. And actually, while I was at AOL, a lot of times over the years, anytime we had a new publishing system that they were putting in front of users, it was always me who the technology team was sort of coming to, because they knew enough in terms of, HTML and very simple code at that point in time that I was sort of the most conversant and I had the most interest in those tools that they were building for us. So they'd come and preview them to me first. And then I would go off and teach the rest of the editorial team sort of how to use them. And I think it was just sort of a natural progression for me from the way I always think about it is I think of journalists and writers as I kind of where I sit now in product management for CMS, I'm building the car, right? And I'm trying to build a really great car for these writers. And the writers are putting the gas in the car, right? They're gonna write
or the electricity.
Yes, hopefully the electricity.
I'm very green of you, so.
Yeah. Yes, we're building more of an electric car these days.
We'll go back to a hybrid. I wanted to ask about that when it comes to Brightspot as a company. So marketing is so key and has changed so much throughout the years. I mean, even going back to when people would, you'd watch TV and that's how you saw your ad, or even before when it would be a billboard and then you're paying for magazines and now it's TikTok ads and things are crazy. So out of curiosity, when we're talking about the approach for companies, how are you guys doing that different? What does that look like?
Yeah, that's really one of the use cases, I think, that Brightspot. I've talked a lot about, you know, journalism and newsrooms, but I think another really big use case, you know, not just for us, but what's happening just in the industry right now. What's happening now is a lot of companies are taking storytelling into their own hands. They're hiring editors and writers who are talking about the company, and they're doing that, you know, they're doing that on their own sites. And a lot of those companies are looking to an enterprise content management system like Brightspot to really help them tell those stories.
One of the other pieces that we hear a lot about with marketing and the AI is going to, you know, replace all these people, and you know, like ChatGPT is just doing the job. Mm-hmm. And so now you don't really need a marketer anymore. Do you agree with that statement?
Yes and no. I think to an extent, and it's funny, we actually just did a webinar about AI and this topic specifically. And I think one of the panelists had a great point of view, which was, if you're a B copywriter and you know you're not great, you are probably going to get replaced. If you're great at your job, probably not. My point of view on it is that at the end of the day, AI is never going to be able to make connections and decisions and recognize that, you know, we're working on this campaign and I know we have this other campaign that's coming up in, you know, 2 months, or we did something 3 months ago that's very similar and relevant. It's those connections that I just, and decisions that I just don't ever really see AI replacing. I'm sure the robots can't wait to prove me wrong.
I'm like, let me turn on my Roomba real quick and tell you how much money I'm saving on not hiring for cleaning people. Just kidding. They can't reach that high. No, interesting points there. I agree with what you're saying. I am a big fan of AI, and I think we need to be using it when it comes to technology as a whole, focusing on marketing. I'm not even talking about AI for software or anything else. I'm mm-hmm. looking at it for marketing. You're behind if you're not looking at using AI.
Yes.
But I also agree. I think it is, you still want the person. You don't just want the AI. And even when you rely on things like ChatGPT, you're wrong to do that. You're going to have, it's going to come off different. You're going to have mistakes. So even if you're using something to help you, you have to have someone there to validate the help and to make sure that you're doing a great job. I can turn my Roomba on all day, but if I'm not there to help it, it's going to get stuck somewhere. I'm going to have to move it.
Yes.
You know, things yep. like that.
And I think that's exactly right. I think that, and that's really how we've approached AI showing up in the CMS in this latest version that we're working on, which is coming into availability this fall. Our approach to it has been, AI is going to be your co-pilot. It's going to be your collaborator. It's going to help you get through creative blocks. It might write your first draft, but it's not going to take things, you know, completely to the end. I think if it does, then, you know, just like you might end up out of a job if you don't use it, if you overuse it, if you don't use it with a little bit of consideration and thought, the same thing's going to happen.
Yeah. So if I got in an elevator with you, you're already in there. I got in on the second floor. We're both trying to go to the roof. It's a beautiful sunny day. We have about 9 floors to get there. It's a slow elevator. So assume that 9 floors is equivalent to 15. And I were to say, what do you do? What would you say? How would you sell me on how great Brightspot is?
Here we go. So the way I would sell you on it is, I run product management for a content management platform that is going to let you start, finish, and then layer on your custom business requirements on top of that. So we do that with a whole host of pre-built content types and integrations. You know, you're probably using MailChimp, Sailthrough, something like that for your marketing campaigns. We have integrations like that already built into the system, along with things like workflows, notifications, real-time preview. You are going to get a lot out of the box with Brightspot and likely launch your digital properties in a timeline that is way faster than some of our bigger competitors at a pretty reasonable price point.
That was pretty good. When the elevator just opened, it was just in time. And
do you want my business card?
Well, I was just thinking, well, we're both coming to the roof, so we can talk more. But you swayed me enough that I didn't want to get out and be like, oh, no, we're both going to the roof. So that was good. Kevin, how'd you feel when you heard it? Were you interested or would you have gotten back in the elevator and been like, I forgot something?
I have a couple of additional questions. So it definitely at least left me with some questions. I mean, so one of the things you had been talking about earlier and kind of offline, I think as well, was like sort of the modular piece of the content management system where you can like plug in different building blocks and kind of reuse things. What are the benefits of that? Is it literally just reuse of content and just like blasting it across all the web, or are there other things that we're missing?
There's other things there. And I think just to define that a little bit, because I think like modular content, I think is a little bit of a, like, what does that mean? So just to define that a little bit for, you know, people who maybe have never heard that term before. So when we talk about modular content, it is very much about content reuse. It's really boiling a customer's content down to sort of what the smallest block of kind of content reuse. For some customers, it's an entire article. For some, it's a sentence, the headline, the subheadline, you know, a paragraph. And the way I really think about it is, you know, actually once upon a time, I used to say modular content is really just like building with Legos, right? You have a sentence. You can use that sentence in an email. You can use that sentence on a landing page. But what's a little bit different is, unlike Legos, you can reuse a block over and over again, right? There's no restriction to the amount of things you can build with that block, which I think is really powerful. You know, regardless of, you know, the size of your Lego, you can sort of put it wherever it makes the most sense as often as you need to. It is very much about content reusability. Where the benefit really comes in is, you know, it's going to vary a little bit depending on, you know, what a customer's trying to do. But what comes into play with that reuse is things like multi-channel, omni-channel, right? If I am writing content, maybe it's for a website, but if I'm taking a modular approach to it, it's very straightforward for me to repurpose that content for it to get sent to an app or a display in the elevator that we're riding in. And then the other piece where that reusability becomes really important is translation. So, you know, one of the things I think we don't really think about is translating content can get pretty expensive if you're using, you know, a machine service. So what a modular approach allows you to do is say, like, these are the pieces that are really important to get translated, and maybe these other pieces aren't, which is a little bit more efficient, cost effective if you have a lot that you're looking to translate.
Meredith, I just have to tell you, you're my favorite guest this week, for sure.
It's only Tuesday.
That's true. That's why I said so far this week. I mean, I can't guarantee what's going to happen throughout the week, but I'm really, really enjoying this recording. I do think so much when it comes to technology, people are looking for the plug and play tools. They're looking for something that I don't have to get rid of what I have and I can integrate this, and it's an add-on that is helpful. Yep. I think so many people look at marketing as a nice to have, and they should be looking at it as a need to have. You need to have your salespeople, right? Well, do you? Because I actually think you need to have your marketing in point. You can have the best salespeople, but if no one knows they exist because you don't have any marketing, then how good are they? They're just sitting there cold calling all day. And is anyone really that good at cold calling? I mean, I'm going to say some, yes, sure, but that's terrible. But if you have a good marketing team, then your salespeople can still be mediocre. And I'm not saying get mediocre salespeople, but I do think companies should be leading with saying, I'm going to spend all this money to have this amazing product, but if I don't spend the money to market it, does anyone know it exists? So yes. I do think we need to be looking at that as more of a need to have than a nice to have. And I think when we're also looking at it, there's so many different ways to market. That's what I find so interesting about Brightspot, is you're giving a way to market your company without just saying, here we are, but we're marketing and that's the whole sell to me. It's marketing and it's the number of things that follow the and that you guys are able to do that I find so interesting. And I've spoken with many people from your team, and everybody is so helpful, especially when it comes to training. You can have an amazing tool, but if you're not training anyone on how to use it, again, same issue. And I think so many people are so concerned about, let me sell what I have, that they're not following up with, awesome, that looks great, but now that I have it, what do I do with it? And then they're gone. And then they're like, well, it's going to cost you a lot more money to pay to get trained on it. Just like, the hell did I just buy? And so I love that you all really do have more of a partnership approach. And to be clear, so everyone listening is like, what the hell? This is not me saying we're sponsored by Brightspot in any form. Mm-hmm. It's just an honest experience that I've had with your company. So I really think that that's an important thing to note. For everybody listening right now, in your opinion, Meredith, can you tell everyone some advice that you would give to people, whether they work at a company, own a company, are trying to brand themselves, maybe anything, any advice that you feel like is an important thing to share?
I think the biggest piece of advice I would give, and this is something I'm almost speaking a little bit as a consumer right now, is the biggest thing that always works for me. And I've used this when I'm going in to talk about Brightspot to new potential customers, is you really got to zero in on that need. And that need might be a teeny tiny little feature, but once you've sort of articulated and you've identified that need, you have your in, right? I think Apple does the best job of that with their marketing. Like, what do they, they zero in on the teeny tiniest little feature in a lot of their advertising. Like, I don't need a new phone, but they show me that I can press on myself in an image and the rest of the background disappears. Like, I don't need the iPhone 14, but they created a need. And now I feel like I want that. And I think that for marketers, I think if you can identify that need, and it might be, it might not be the biggest, wowest, feature about the product, but it if you can capture sort of someone's heart and mind in that way, it's really sticky and I think really effective.
Yeah, this is really...
I need the iPhone. Sorry, Kev, but I just want you. I was just like, the thing is coming out in like mid-September, and I do need it.
My phone is
trash. We'll go with it's the marketing, but it's my phone.
It's definitely the marketing.
Yeah, it is. Sorry, yeah. Kev.
I find this really interesting. For me, I mean, we see this even in our, where my background is in e-discovery, where like there's so much data and so much just like, meat out there that the lawyers are just looking for different ways to, carve this data up. And so for a while, it was like, data analytics were going to be a useful thing. And then there's been more and more push towards like telling the story, using the data to really like provide context. And I feel like that's been really interesting in our industry, because mm-hmm. it's definitely sort of transformed the AI and becoming more, less of just like a thing that's out there and more of a must have. And so I really find that to be interesting. Are you seeing things in your industry either today or even coming down the road that you think are going to be also sort of must haves as you look forward?
I think the biggest thing, I mean, I think you kind of, you just said it. Like, I think AI is going to become the sort of must have. I think the other big features that are becoming must haves for technology and marketing are a lot of kind of planning capabilities. So things like, assignment creation, assignment tracking, like who's working on what and having visibility into those swim lanes. And I think that's an area where we'll see AI become a little bit more embedded and grow quite a bit. I think there's a lot actually of potential there with, I'm working on something and, I have a task maybe that it creates, AI actually creates a calendar invite for me when that is due. I think what's going to become more sort of expected in products is a very deep connection between systems like that, right? I'm working on a task or an assignment that somebody gave me out of the CMS. People are going to expect that's going to show up on their calendar. I think right now we track things, not just like on our computers and our work computers, but also on our personal calendars. I think we're going to see a lot more connection between different systems over the next couple of years.
This has all been very interesting and informative. I learned so much. And now, as much as I really like you, Meredith, I am kind of torn. I don't know. I can't tell if I like you more or Brightspot still. It's a toss up. but I had a really good time speaking with you. Kevin, do you have a strong opinion? Who are you voting for? Would you choose to work with Brightspot or would you choose just Meredith in general?
I think we can do both. I actually really like the idea of, you know, perfect, of the integration of both things.
Yeah, I think no matter what, I think I'm so stitched into both the product that, you know, it, I have been at the company for, I think, 13 or 14 years. I've seen it grow a lot. There's a lot of me in the product. So you really can't go wrong with either choice, guys.
That's awesome.
It's a win-win combo. I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. We really appreciate your time and loved having you on.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This has been very fun.
So, Kevin, we just spoke with Meredith Rodkey from Brightspot. What were your tech takeaways?
I thought it was interesting. You know, I definitely think the piece about the Legos, that's a good kind of a good visual for thinking about, you know, the sort of the modular content piece of this. It's definitely something that I didn't really have any knowledge about before. So I'm pleased that she came on and we were able to share with us. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think marketing is such an important part of branding your company, getting your company out there and growing awareness. I'm really excited to see what Brightspot is going to do in the future and to continue to watch that company as a whole. And I think Meredith gave us a good view of what they're doing and what's to come. I also find her to be very interesting. I like her background. I'm always intrigued by people that are writers and in content that aren't the Gen Z I just started, which nothing against them, but it's a different viewpoint. And it's something to watch people that have been in the industry for an extended period of time have to make the changes and adapt to the things that the Gen Z people have kind of grown up within. So I'm really intrigued by her background and the company as a whole. And as mentioned, I think it's a company that people should be looking out for and waiting to see what's to come. If you're a company that's doing marketing or needing marketing, I would highly recommend checking out Brightspot to see what else is to come and what they're working on and how they may be a good fit for your company or to even collaborate with. If you are interested in learning more about Brightspot, Meredith, or That Tech Pod, please reach out to us at contact@thattechpod.com. We'd love to hear from you. Always interested in getting other perspectives and points of view. So please tell us what you're thinking and how you're feeling. If you haven't yet, please head over to www.thattechpod.com. Enter your email to subscribe and get some merchandise and just check out what's to come on the pod. If you have social media, check us out on linkedin.com/thattechpod or anywhere else that you may have social media that we also may have social media. Kevin, is there anything else that our listeners can do to help the pod?
Absolutely. Go to wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever, and give us a 5-star rating, leave us a review, let us know how we're doing. All that kind of stuff helps us with the algorithms and gets us out there. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.